DW Africa Link.
From Ghana must go to Nigerians must go. History seems to be repeating itself, isn't it? Tensions recently flared up in Accra as Ghanaian traders hit the streets, chanting and waving signs like Nigeria must go, demanding Nigerians leave the country. They accused them of dominating the economy and being linked to crime. Now, much of the anger has been fueled by viral videos and sensational media. Now, as a Ghanaian, I am naturally concerned about further escalation that could get out of control.
It's because of them that most of the Ghanaian ladies and men are working. Like how I'm working, my boss is a Nigerian and I'm working with him. So it will be painful for me to stop working and be at home. No one is going to feed me. I'm going to feed myself. So for them to go, it's going to be bad.
Some of them are really making the country very miserable, doing other stuff to, tarnish the image of our country, which is very bad. So I will be happy if we deport some of them. Not all of them, but maybe the good ones should stay and the bad ones should go.
I don't think it will work. And if I should tell my own Ghanaian brother, I should say, then they should just leave that. You understand? We should not use because of what one person commits and tell the whole Nigerians to go. It doesn't make any sense.
So how did things get this heated? And what can be done to cool it down? That's what's coming up. I am Eddie Micah Jr. And you are welcome to Africa Link, the podcast connecting you to the stories that matter.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
Ghana and Nigeria, West Africa's most iconic neighbors. They can be described as siblings with the occasional harmless rivalry. But there is always the potential for the rivalry to get out of control. Later on this podcast, we'll hear from some Ghanaians and Nigerians in Accra. But before that, let me introduce my guests. Isaac Kaleji is DW's correspondent in Accra, Ghana, and DW's Ben Chimang is our correspondent in Nigeria. Hello and welcome to the program. Isaac, I will start off with you. What has triggered recent tensions between Nigeria and Ghana that even led to protests of Nigerians must go?
So, I mean, this really has been lingering for some time now, but it's been occasional kind of triggering taking place. So, for example, in the past, we've had concerns in informal sector in Ghana, the trading areas where Ghanaian traders have complained about Nigerians flooding the market and taking over their businesses. Because again, there's a law that governs how foreigners must trade in Ghana in terms of their capital base and all that, and what ought to be reserved for the locals. But it occasionally is dealt with discussions and concerns being addressed, sometimes raids being taking place to deal with people who are not complying. But the recent one really was triggered by an interview that happened, I'm told, a couple of years ago by a gentleman who claims to be the Igbo chief, okay, or traditional leader of the Igbos in Ghana, where he mentioned that he secured some parcel of land, or sizable land, actually, in part of Accra, and he wants to build his kingdom there. And I think the interview didn't go down well with a lot of Ghanaians who thought, well, this is Ghana. Yeah, you can live here as a Nigerian, but you cannot say you are creating your own kingdom within another country. Even though he came back to apologize for the comments and all that, that triggered people to begin to raise concerns again about something that has been already there for some time. And that is really what has brought up this conversation. But I must add quickly that also, there have been some concerns about some crimes that have taken place involving some Nigerians. Well, that's a normal criminal issue. But because of this comment by this chief, I mean, people add up all this and they raise concerns and they say they want Nigerians out of the place. Yeah.
Ghana-Nigeria rivalry has been there for as long as I can remember. I mean, when you talk about food battles, you know, Ghanaian jollof versus Nigerian jollof. Look, if I can say so myself as Ghanaian, obviously Ghanaian jollof is better than Nigerian jollof. But anyway, that's besides the point, right? The point is, there's always, whether it's music, you know, the movie industry, basically entertainment, food, sports, football. I remember, you know, when Ghana beats Nigeria, it's like, you know, so exciting, right? Those are normal sort of harmless flare-ups that can happen from time to time. And from what you're saying, this was a recording years ago. He's come back to retract it, but that didn't stop tensions from boiling over, did it?
The friendship between Ghana and Nigeria is great. And I must say that we should not really paint this whole issue about some kind of height that cannot be resolved. I think that is great, just that there are concerns, again, with Nigerians who live in Ghana, some of their actions. And this Igbo man's comment only triggered or tried to resurrect the agitation people have, right? And so that is really what has brought this whole conversation back to the table. And I must say that this comment was done not just this year, but it's just that it's come back to haunt him. He himself has said that some of his critics had brought it to create some tension. But he says he's the chief of the Igbos in Ghana, right? It's allowed for a community in Ghana to have a leader, right? For them, whether traditional or whatever it is. But it cannot be seen as a kingdom that he claimed in that previous interview, which he had come to apologize for and retracted. And even though he did that, some Ghanaians who have concerns, they have legitimate rights to protest and demonstrate, right? And I think that's what they did. And I think because of social media now, TikTok and other places, the interview resonated with people and got people angry. Yeah.
I mean, an interview that was done years ago. So basically just resurfaced out of nowhere, Kaleji, it seems.
Exactly. And he claims that it was done by people who hate him to incite some kind of tension, anger in against him in Ghana. Yeah.
So he comes out to apologize. That should have sort of calmed tensions, but it hasn't. What seems to be this sort of simmering tension that somehow almost got out of hand?
It's economic, right? A lot of Nigerians live in Ghana. Okay, over a million of them live in Ghana, according to unconfirmed data, right? And there are a lot of them are in their informal sector, where they are trading, where they are very aggressive in how they trade, which is good to some extent. And some Ghanaians perhaps have concerns about that. We also have some issues related to, for example, when it comes to criminal activities, right? Some Nigerians sometimes are arrested for engaging in some crime. Like you said, it's just a criminal issue. But I must say that in this instance, we are not seeing, it's not like a government instigated kind of anger, right? It's just ordinary people who have concerns. And that's why I think that it was important for the Ghanaian president to meet the foreign affairs minister of Nigeria, who had earlier met her counterpart in Ghana, to just get some kind of understanding of what is going on, and then to reassure the Ghanaian and Nigerian community that we are at peace, there's nothing really to worry about, and that any issue related to crime will be dealt with on the level of crime, and that there's a need for us to live in peace. And I think that is really what has happened now, to try and then bring tensions down. But I think that it's normal that this consensus will be there. So far as you have people who come to the country from different countries, different orientations, we'll still have that happening. But I don't think that it ought to get out of hand, which the government has tried to do by trying to dialogue with Nigerian counterparts and try to reassure Nigerians in Nigeria and also Ghanaians that there's a need for us to live at peace. Yeah.
Right. Let me come to you, Ben Shemang, our correspondent in Nigeria. I mean, look, this almost feels like a deja vu. It's a bit of a history repeating itself, maybe not exactly as before. 1969, at some point, Ghanaians wanted Nigerians out. Then 1983, it was Ghana must go. Nigeria, you know, basically kicking out Ghanaians, economic reasons. Politicians jumped on that bandwagon. And then now, 2025, people in Ghana are saying, or Nigeria must go. How has the latest tension been received inside Nigeria? What's been the reaction to it?
Well, the usual thing, there's this expression in Pidgin English in Nigeria, do me, I do you. In other words, if you say go, me too, one day will come and say you too, return. If you check the history you've given, like the young Ghanaians who are protesting today, you just see that 1983, many of them were not born. They probably read about it and all that stuff. But again, why should this be recurring when we're talking about an ECOWAS of persons, an ECOWAS of goods exchange, an ECOWAS of a mutual understanding? Like you also said earlier, if you check, there are always instances. Once something happens to Nigeria, it must always happen in Ghana. Another thing happens in Ghana, it happens to Nigeria. For example, if you're talking about football, like you said, when Ghana wins next one, Nigeria will revenge, a kind of. And if you also look at the fashion industry, by the time you'll be talking of Adire here in Nigeria, Ghanaians will tell you of Kente and all that stuff. We have all sorts of even food kind of exhibitions here and there. And there are times you have trade fairs organized here in Abuja or Lagos. Go and see the Ghanaians that will come in here. They bring all sorts of things from Ghana, and Nigerians will rush at them. Just like Ghanaians are also buying many things from Nigeria. But what is happening today sometimes is just to bring some misunderstanding between two friendly nations. But I want to tell you, here in Nigeria, truly, people are taking it very, very calm. Calm in the sense that if you count how many Ghanaians are in Nigeria, I think unofficially they are around 500,000. That's just that small number. In the middle of over 200 million people. And the 500,000 that are here, only 20,000 are officially residing here in Nigeria. The rest are just believing in the ECOWAS protocol. Just come in, you're a brother. Just come in, you're a sister. You know, just like in 1983 in particular, Nigerian economy was booming, truly. But you could see very national, very many of them in Nigeria, Nigerians, Ghanaians, but Ghanaians were more in number. So at the point, some people felt they should return so that Nigerians will grab the jobs they are doing.
Right. Tell us more about the concrete steps that the Nigerian government is taking to address the situation.
In terms of concrete action, the Minister of State, Bianca Ojukwu, Foreign Affairs, was sent to go to Ghana, go meet her counterpart, go meet the Ghanaian president, and thereafter meet with the Nigerian community. And when you check, the complaint is rather against or almost the Igbo tribe of Nigeria, Eastern Nigeria, that are over there in Ghana. Bianca Ojukwu too is Igbo. The government is feeling that she has the credentials, she is capable of also talking to these people, and she has spoken with the Nigerian community. Look, in as much as you are visitors there, obey the laws. All the host countries, those hosting you, is because you are good, and that's why they are giving you the liberty to operate.
Before I come to you, Isaac, Ben, you start with this particular question, because what you're saying is important. The way social media, or the role social media plays, is very key. And so in all of this, how would you say Nigerian media, especially social media platforms, have been covering this story? How are they framing it? And how has social media contributed to sort of the rise in tension, if that's been the case?
And let me tell you, Eddie, Nigeria is a country where you say every day has a breaking news, a kind of. The football team have rubbish and send everything down. The social media is busy. It's agog with what the basketballers have done now. the Ghana stuff honestly is going down, really down the trend, because many people have seen that that film was an old one and it is generated to cause disaffection, and time has come that we should promote humanity, we should promote what you call a stable polity between Nigeria and Ghana.
Right. Isaac, likewise, in Ghana, look, I spoke to a friend in Ghana, Isaac, and he was really going on and on about, you know, what the stats say about crime in Ghana, Nigeria's role in there. And what I realized was, a lot of the time, he was just spewing numbers without facts, right? They just were not facts. And these things are spreading like wildfire in Ghana when it comes to who Nigerians are or are perceived to be. How widespread is that, Isaac?
Well, like Ben said, I mean, Nigerians are quite different from Ghanaians in terms of how they approach things, right? So, I mean, it's both positive and negative, I must say. There are people who admire Nigerians, how forceful they are, aggressiveness, the attitude towards business and all that. And even though some Ghanaians who raise concerns about that because perhaps they are the receiving end in terms of maybe have to compete with the Nigerians, they still admire that kind of approach. I mean, you know, on a lighter note, even there are women in Ghana who love the Nigerian men, the way they approach things, right? And that even sometimes people laugh over it. But on the other side is that there are obviously some Nigerians who engage in crimes that perhaps Ghanaians ordinarily will not engage in.
And I like that you're highlighting this, because this is some of the things that spread across, right? There's people making it seem that there are some crimes that are exclusive to only Nigerians, which is just not true. Crime is crime, and there's no crime that is just Nigerian crime and this is Ghana crime, right? So this is why exactly I want to find out, you know, again, the role social media has played in all of this and how authorities are contributing to, or people generally are contributing to, easing the tensions by, you know, creating some sort of unity instead of separation between both sides.
Yeah, I get you perfectly. And I was solely making this point because that's how many, a lot of Ghanaians, or many Ghanaians, see these things, right? Perceive these things, right? And whether positive or negative, it's important for the institutions in the country to really make things clear. So, for example, when it comes to businesses, there are rules, right? And so we get people to abide by those rules. Likewise, Ghanaians in other countries will have to abide by those rules. When it comes to crime, of course, the police have to indicate that this is just crime, and so we are dealing with criminals. But again, you cannot take away the perception people have because of what is reported, for example, in the media, how the media paints it. And even now with social media, an ordinary person can take a particular development, twist it in a particular way to suit how he or she feels, and get people to jump onto it, right? You will not get that journalistic approach to saying this is crime and has to be dealt in this way. So in dealing with these issues, of course, the most important thing is for the government to come out to try and tackle the situation. I think that's what has happened with this visit by the Nigeria Foreign Affairs Minister. I think that there ought to be an orientation that must take place, but I think first must come from the Nigerian community here in Ghana to let the citizens know that you're in a different country, you need to abide by the rules and regulations, but it helps. I doubt whether anything can be done beyond that of the Nigerian leadership talking to its citizens. And then obviously the Ghanaian community having its leaders arrange them that there's a need for us to coexist because of ECOWAS, the protocols and all that. And then if there are genuine concerns, institutions have to deal with it, right? And tackle those crimes, whether it's local or foreign. And then we will have, everyone will know that, yes, it doesn't matter whether the person is Nigerian or Ghanaian, if they've committed a crime, they are dealt with.
Ben, wrapping up with the final words, where do you see this heading? I mean, Ghana, Nigeria have been, you know, the rivalry is not going to end anytime soon, but it could remain just a rivalry, a harmless rivalry. Where do you see Ghana-Nigeria relations going from here?
I think that is going to blossom positively because we still need to have our trade relation going on. So the issue, the Holy Alliance, Jollof rice, the competition, the football, basketball, and all that, and this Nollywood, home movies, the musical industry, the youth we are having today, see, they are cutting across their love for friendship is cutting all these international boundaries.
Quick fire questions. Ben, you've probably tried both, Ghana Jollof and Nigeria Jollof.
Who am I to point at my father's house with my little finger of the left hand? Ghana rice should wait. Nigeria is ahead. They should learn how to cook first. Nigeria Jollof.
I don't know why I expected anything different. Isaac, let me come to you. Quick fire one. Ghana Jollof or Nigeria Jollof? Or Black Stars or Super Eagles?
I mean, when it comes to the food, of course, I've tasted a Nigerian jollof and a Ghanaian jollof. I mean, I think the Ghanaian jollof is ahead of the Nigerian jollof, but they are all good. I mean, to fill the belly for whoever takes it, it will be satisfied. But I mean, that's it. And again, when it comes to sports, I think that the two countries are all good. Yes, but I'll still go for Ghana at the moment. But that shows how great it is for Ghana and Nigeria. I believe that this incident will not damage the relationship between the two countries.
Right. Thank you very much to the both of you. This is how you avert further tensions. Kaleji being a politician there, and Ben staying true to character, supporting Nigerian jollof over Ghanaian jollof. But it is what it is. I believe that both countries, you know, have so much more in common than what divides them, if anything at all divides them. And healthy competition is great, and that's what's going to spur both countries on to greater heights. Isaac Kaleji, DW correspondent in Accra, Ghana. Ben Chemang, DW correspondent in Nigeria. Thank you both for your time.
Get the stories that are shaping the continent here on Africa Link.
Well, the good news is that both governments have been allaying fears as they try to diffuse tensions. During his meeting with Nigerian Special Envoy Ambassador Bianca Odumegu Ojukwu, President Mahama said, "Tell President Tinubu not to lose sleep over the recent protests. Ghana and Nigeria are like twins. We have a shared destiny. There is no room for xenophobia in Ghana." He added that, quote, "Only a few misguided individuals took part in these protests. They did not represent the views or values of the Ghanaian people. Nigerians living in Ghana are safe and will continue to be protected." Those were the words of Ghana's president, John Dramani Mahama. But what do ordinary Ghanaians and Nigerians make of their relationship? Let's hear from some of them.
It's because of them that most of the Ghanaian ladies and men are working. My boss is a Nigerian and I'm working with him, so it will be painful for me to stop working and be at home. No one is going to feed me. I'm going to feed myself. So for them to go, it's going to be bad.
Well, I will be happy if we deport some of them. Not all of them, but maybe the good ones should stay and the bad ones should go.
Yes, some Nigerians might be causing some issues, but they are supposed to reason like not all Nigerians cause those kind of problems. Some of us, we are here, we do good business. Even the Ghanaians, they do business with us. They are happy to do business with Nigerians. So we just urge Ghanaians that we are not here to cause problems. We are just here to, like, we all grow together and let's develop together and help each other.
Okay, me as a Nigerian, Nigeria and Ghanaians, we are one. I get to be like, we are like brothers and sisters. And for my own, I don't think it's going to work. I get to, because most of you, you are talking about developments and everything. Most of the people that are even developing the country itself are more Nigerians. More is Nigerians. Let's leave outside that. We'll have some touts inside all of them. But you can't because of what the touts are doing or something, like I said, the whole Nigerians to go. It doesn't make any sense.
Those were voices of Ghanaians and Nigerians living in Ghana. Now, while the Nigerian-Ghanaian rivalry is real and occasionally explosive, it is deeply rooted in shared history and mutual dependence. The recent tensions are a wake-up call to governments, media, and civil society that long-term prosperity and stability depend on dialogue, creative diplomacy, and rejecting exclusion in favor of unity and respect. This is a hopeful message, a reminder that unity and respect can prevail. So what do you think? We value your thoughts and encourage you to share them with us on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Listen to us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast from. And don't forget to click follow and subscribe to our DW Africa YouTube channel so you never miss an episode. This show was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe. And I am Eddie Micah Jr. Thanks for listening.
DW. Made for Minds.